Waikato scientist has been awarded, he's been given an award for his innovative work using a traditional Māori fishing method, Tokoura. Last night, the Kudos Science Trust held its annual awards, celebrating excellence in science in Hamilton and this year in Bay of Plenty as well. And with me is Dr. Ian Kusabs, who's the winner of the University of Waikato Vision Mā Tauranga Science Awards. Hi, Ian.
Kia ora, Jesse.
Congratulations. How are you? Yeah, I'm really well, thank you. Really well. What an amazing story your one is. Can you give us a bit of background? Where have you come from? What's your career involved so far?
Well, basically, I was born and raised in Rotorua. Went to University of Waikato, did my undergrad there and master's. Then I went to Canada and did some the fisheries, freshwater fisheries papers at the University of British Columbia in Vancouver. And I came back and worked for a number of years, and then we sort of stumbled on this traditional fishing method and decided to do my PhD on it.
And this concerns kōura. Can you tell people a little about this critter?
Well, they're considered a taonga or treasured species by Māori, and particularly in the central North Island lakes, where historically large numbers were harvested. And there were lots in the central North Island lakes because there weren't basically tuna or eels were absent. So they had no, they had shags were predators, but they didn't have any fish predators. So there was lots and lots of them. And so they're a highly prized delicacy. So, yeah. Two species in New Zealand, one in the north and one in the south.
Yeah. And what are their issues in 2020? The usual sort of native issues around habitat loss and predation from introduced species, that sort of thing?
One of the biggest impacts has been invasive aquatic plants. So they encroach on their habitat, and then when those aquatic plants die, they use up the dissolved oxygen. So they've really had a big effect. And there's a lake in Norway where they've got commercial crayfish catch data for over 100 years, and they found there that once one of the oxygen weeds got into that lake, the catches declined, the population declined by 50%. So that's been one of the major ones. More recently, we've had eutrophication problems, so excess nutrients. And really, sadly, the last 3 or 4 years, the introduction of brown bullhead catfish, which are a major predator. Yeah. And some of our sampling sites in Lake Rotorua, we've seen a 90% decline in kōura abundance in the last 4 years.
Yeah. And one of the problems you have is surveying these kōura.
Yeah, well, the lake kōura and lakes have been pretty well understudied in New Zealand and the world, really, because of the lack of a representative sampling method. So basically people, scientists overseas, use baited traps. And the problem with those is they mainly target large, aggressive males. So you don't know what's happening with the rest of the population. Now, with this Tokoura method, it catches kōura that, you know, 3 or 4 millimetres in length, you know, straight off the mothers, right up to the real monsters. So it's a fantastic sampling method, and we get really good numbers as well.
And it's a traditional method?
Yeah, it's a traditional Te Arawa Ngāti Tūwhari Tō method, which, was used to harvest large numbers and up until the 50s, until the invasive weeds got into the lakes.
How did you hear about this method?
My koro, you know, he used to talk about it, but it was pretty much dying out. There was a couple of whānau from the Ngāti Pikiau Iwi in Te Arawa who were still using it. And I had a contract with Niwa, actually, and they said, well, what would you like to study? I said, oh, kōura, because no one knows anything about them. So we went out and we trialled all these other methods, and they were pretty much hopeless. We've got so few kōura, or the water was too dirty or whatever. But so I was talking to an uncle of mine. He said, oh, why don't you try this method? And there's a guy out at Komatoa, out at Lake Rotiti, Willie Emery, who was still using this method. So he generously showed me how to do it, and the rest is history, really.
So how do you do it? Can you give us a sort of a basic explanation?
Yeah, I can. Basically, it's bundles of bracken fern and they're placed on the lake bed. And the kohra go into these bracken fern bundles and they colonise it. So you leave it for a period of time and then you pick these bundles up and you shake out all the kohra onto a big net, which we call a kohrupper, and then you process the kohra. So very simple. It's been so effective, it's now been adopted overseas in a lot of, in Europe, the UK, and North America. And we've also adapted it for use in streams, so just using single bundles. Usually a tokoro can be 10 to 20 bundles on a long line, but we've used it in streams, just individual bundles, and that's really exciting. They're actually using it in the UK now to sample threatened crayfish species. Because it doesn't hurt them, a lot of the other methods, like electrofishing, they actually stun the kohra, so they can do some damage, but this one is just a natural method. They're free to go in and out of the bundle as they like.
Do you recall when you first hauled one of these things up and saw the results?
Yeah, I do actually. We did a bit of research. And we found a paper by Sir Peter Buck, Pirangi Hiroa, this is Māori name, which he published in 1921 on the fishing practices in Lake Rotorua.
Yeah.
So that sort of helped us a lot. But I got hold of Willie Emery, and he went out. He hadn't used his tokoto for a while, so we put new bundles of fern on there. Went out, put it in Lake Rotiti, just outside his place, and pulled it up, and we must have got 800 kohra on 10 fern bundles.
Incredible.
Yeah. So we're really lucky that he shared that Matauranga Māori with us, you know? So.
Yeah.
And
speaking of Matauranga Māori, can you give us your view of what sort of promise there is here in New Zealand to adopt the principles of Māori tanga in modern Western science? I mean, obviously it's a nice to have. It's a great story. Yours is a great story. But as you can see it, is there a real practical benefit, and is there potential for more of this, you know, the two systems working together?
I definitely think there is, you know, like in its simplest interpretation, Matauranga Māori basically means Māori knowledge, and there's just so much of it, and there's so much Indigenous knowledge overseas as well. Like, there's a and on the west coast of North America, they've got these, the native people there have a really intricately carved hooks, and they target a halibut, which are like a big flounder, of a certain size. So it doesn't target the small ones, and it doesn't target the big ones, so the big ones can continue to breed. And I'm sure they probably had the same system here with Hapuka as well, but there's just loads of different methods, particularly I'm an expert in fisheries, not so much a lot of the other Matauranga stuff, but, you know, a lot of our traditional practices, such as spotlighting, that's now a recognised method as well, which Māori use, which is now used as a Western surveying method. All the fight nets that they use, the nets, Māori had their own ones, so pretty much adaptions of those. So I think there's a lot of really cool stuff to come, Jesse.
Yeah. And you're a scientist, so you're interested in results, but is there something more emotional for you as well, being of Te Arawa and Ngāti Tuwharetoa descent, to be using these techniques in your science work?
Yeah, definitely. People always say to me, oh, have you tried a different material for these, you know, to replace the fern bundle? And we're just like, no, well, you know, we don't really want to. You know, it sort of keeps you connected to that traditional practice. And it's when we take out a lot of the tau eater, the students, and the rangatahi. You know, it's a whole, it's that whole thing about keeping those traditional practices alive, you know. So, yeah, it's really super satisfying that that we can just use these traditional methods and that's the most effective method, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, and when you look at the, I mean, I don't want to overstate it, but when you look at the health and well-being of Māori overall in New Zealand, it does seem to be connected, eh? You're connecting to your past and your tupuna and your tradition seems to have other benefits. I don't know if you caught last night these Kudos Awards, Nita Scott, whose expertise is health, saying that they've looked at Māori with pre-diabetes. They've looked at which ones go on to get full-blown diabetes, and there's a less chance you'll get full-blown diabetes if you speak te reo Māori, which, you know, seems like it would have no connection, and yet we're finding out that sort of thing does actually directly seem to affect people's health.
Yeah, well, that was a great study. Yeah, I think it's like this toe coda stuff. I'll speak on what I know, but you know what we're using it for is trying to connect rangatahi and get them interested in sciences, you know. So we go out there. We don't only just do that work. We do the statistics on it, and we just did the. You heard it last night, the Te Reo or Te Repo unit. We did a Tokora section in that report, which has got to be a new education thing. So basically it's like saying to the rangatahi, hey, you know, this is your traditional knowledge, you know, your ancestors were really clever. And, that whole general well-being thing, you know?
Sure.
Yeah, so this is mental, spiritual and physical, obviously. Yeah.
Congratulations on your work, Ian. Nice to talk to you today and thanks for telling us your story.
Thank you very much, Jesse.
Cheers. Dr. Ian Kusabs, winner of the University of Waikato Vision Mātauranga Science Awards, handed out last night at the Kudos Awards, the Hamilton Science Awards.